Pat Proctor family, how's it going? Now, you know that we incessantly talk about sleep on this podcast, and sometimes it's a little bit too much, but the reason why we do it is because we know how important it is for your lifestyle, your health, everything. That's why I've partnered with Boncharge. Now, they're a company that has all of these different products that helps you have a restful night's sleep. Primarily, they have blue light blocking glasses, and they also have different glasses for daylight, but I want to talk about the blue light blockers initially, because blue light isn't bad. You know, when you go outside and the sun is out, you get blue light. It's not evil. But at nighttime in modern lifestyle, it's something that we get from our screens. It's something that we get from our light bulbs and our TV. But the thing is your body still thinks it's daytime. So you don't start producing the melatonin you need to produce to be able to go to sleep soundly. So when you put on blue light blockers, they will block the blue light from those screens. And we all noticed when we put on our blue light blockers a few hours before we go to sleep, we start to feel tired quicker because our body knows it's nighttime. So this is something that you guys really need to get your hands on and venture through their site because they have so many other tools that are beneficial for sleep, like the sleep masks and all these other things. But Andrew, how can they get it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys got to head over to boncharge.com/powerproject. That's B as in boy, O-N, charge.com/powerproject. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. And if you guys notice, I wear prescription glasses on a daily basis. I also have prescription blue blocking glasses from Boncharge. That's something that you guys can do. So don't think that because you wear prescription glasses that you can't take advantage of this. Head over there right now and get yourself a pair of these blue blocking glasses and start getting better restful sleep.
We're going to try some nut butter. Let me go get a paper towel.
That's a good great call. Idea. Because this is really wet.
It's a beautiful way to start the podcast. What is that?
Ooh.
No, don't.
Don't what?
What? No, I don't care about that. People like that.
Sorry.
Ooh.
For the people listening, I'm so sorry. That's just not a good day. It's a good way to start your morning. Just me slurping on the mic. I'm so sorry.
That's so gross.
It's Macadamia Masterpiece from Brad Kearns.
Oh.
Trying Brad Kearns nut butter. And he gave us some chocolate too, so we're going to try some of that too. Brad Kearns is a speed golfer that we had on the show. And
I can't wait to
try works
that.
With Mark Sisson making some books and stuff. And so he's somebody that lives in the area and he pops around and comes over here every once in a while. And he got an assessment today from the GOTA guys, which I think is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Everybody wants to move better.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, would you like to cut your piece off?
Yeah, yeah. So that way don't get it all gross.
I licked my fingers.
Oh.
I'm going to sample this nut butter on the air. Oh, it looks like this has like fucking chocolate chips in it or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Nut butters are evil. That's why I always give them to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
it has chocolate chips in it?
I think so. I don't know.
Dude, I love dark chocolate.
Okay. Let me, here, you want to?
Sure.
All right, Andrew, let me get you.
I already know what Enzima's going to do.
What is Enzima going to do?
He's going to take a bite. He's going to take a square of the chocolate, and he's going to take a mouthful.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you already know. I'm going to.
Mouthful of that nut butter.
I'm going to first try some chocolate on its own.
It's really good.
You've had it before?
I'm having it right now.
So, I'm much classier than you guys, just for the record.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
period. But
now, what I wanted to say, charcuterie boards at home, of course,
you're a charcuterie board. So you can do whatever you want, but when you have really good chocolate, you're supposed to eat it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to dip it in something, you can. But like the higher the quality of chocolate,
so I know that's
the chocolate fans want you to actually like enjoy the chocolate.
But what do you, Mark Bell, what do you do?
No, you want to be fat and dip it in.
Of course.
Yeah, fucking peanut butter. You want to have no rules, right?
Yeah, fuck eating that shit out. So, man, I'm dipping the chocolate in as much shit as I can.
I love crunchy chocolate. So.
This is how fat I am. I went to a chocolate seminar.
You went to a chocolate seminar?
I went to a chocolate seminar in Hawaii. A chocolate seminar.
Wait, what did they go over in this chocolate seminar? And how long was it?
It was like an hour.
Were you just eating chocolate the whole time?
The entire time. Oh my God, my mouth's watering so profusely so right now.
Oh my God, let me take some of this. I'm going to take a whole thing of this butter. Oh, fuck. I'm going to take it to the face.
I'm going
to
do this one more time, and then Andrew has to enjoy the...
I come up there. I got to go over there because I can't keep it over here.
Seaman just did a, he just did a butt dance.
I did, man. This is
he was in his back chain.
This shit is good.
Hmm.
You got a fresh spoon.
Sorry, they were being fat at your expense.
Yeah. You know, the frustrating thing is, like, people are, like, listening. For all, I'm so sorry, because I know how frustrating it is to listen to somebody chew right in my ear. You know, when I was a fucking kid, one thing I just hated. I love my grandma, bro. I love her so much.
Oh, here comes a butt, though. a butt cancels out everything you just said previously.
No, I love her to death. And damn, she's getting close.
That's insane, right?
But man, when I was a kid.
I hope she's not listening to this.
Oh, no. when she would chew when I was a kid, she would always just, like, sometimes her mouth would open when she was chewing and I'd hear it. And then I developed a sharp disdain.
Fuck that.
For hearing people eat. So whenever I'd be in public or if,
oh my God.
If ever somebody would be like, I'd just be like,
mm-hmm. I'm gonna break your neck.
Mm-hmm. Stop, man! Like,
what's up, Shima?
Fucking mouth. Huh? I hate that. Huh? I hate it so much.
What do you hate, huh?
Mm-hmm. It gives me such an incessant just. Oh, I just want to choke somebody if their mouth opens when they eat.
That's not good. Cause you know how to choke people. It's different if someone else says it. It's like, well, it's not as threatening.
It's so fucking frustrating. But I love Grandma. She's 100, and she's Yeah, she's
100 years old.
100 years old, man.
Damn.
But like, sadly, you know.
She's I was like, what does that have to do with being 100?
She's getting to that point currently where, like, you know, she's not eating as much. She's not feeling as much as appetite. She's continuing to say, I want to see God. Mm. And I'm just like, she's legitimately like, you know, I can't wait for the day I'm up to see the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we're all like, aw, it's coming.
At 100 years old,
you lived a life.
You know,
you lived a life.
It's probably just 25 years around the corner. She might break the record. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild, too, if you think about it. Like, I mean, I don't know what, like, the record is, but it's like 120 or 180. I mean,
I think it's like somewhere in 120 or 118.
Yeah, come on.
Who? Yeah.
And come on, Grandma. You can hang in there.
You know, it's
she could beat the record. Let's go.
It's so funny because I think, like, that's a hell of a life. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously the people, her daughters, want her here. But I'm at the point where I'm just like, you know, I can see, like, where she wants to go now. Like, I get it, you know. Yeah. And when she does, it's like, I'm happy for her, you know, because if you feel like you've really just lived on this earth for so long and you're kind of like, I'm done. You know,
like, I'm over it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's such an interesting perspective and place to be, though. So she's like, I think there's somewhere I heard this off a TV show or something, but some people call people like that, super old people, libraries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's just all that they've seen.
122 years old.
Whoa, still smoking. Let's go, girl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she died in 97, I think that's what the thing said.
Yeah.
But yeah, 122 and 164 days.
Where is she from?
France.
I thought you were going to say 122-0. Fucking undefeated.
Undefeated. She didn't lose.
France. And still smoking that cigarette, man. Look at her. Yeah. What a G.
Just chiefing over there.
I think most of the people that are fairly old are pretty small, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
your
grandma smallish?
She's like 4'11. Like, quite literally. I think she used to be taller, but, like, now she's 4'11, you know? So, yeah, 4'10, 4'11.
That's wild.
Yeah, man.
Small. Anyway, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the some of the influences that we've had, some of the people that we've had come in. We've talking about the shoes and talking about all these kind of rabbit holes. And as you're talking about people chewing with their mouth open, it's another interesting thing because it's frowned upon by society, but it's how you're supposed to eat.
You're supposed to be
for us to develop our jaw properly. You need to use your chompers, man. You got to open your mouth.
But you can do it with your lips closed.
You can do it. Quietly.
You can. But it's just another area where you're kind of like. I mean, it's kind of like the no deodorant thing. I mean, how far down this rabbit hole we want to go, you know what I mean?
I mean, if the difference between, like, us being, like, the perfect civilization is chewing with our mouth open and being what we have now, I'm cool with what we have now because I just can't deal with it. It's I can't.
I refuse to accept what you just said. I refuse to accept that that's even a possibility.
It's just the mechanics of your mouth, you know?
What do you guys think? I'm actually really curious. What do you think? Do you think that, like, yeah, do you think you should be able to chew with your mouth open? You do that shit in front of me, I swear I'll punch the fuck out of you. I won't. I won't actually.
You know what's funny
is,
like, it doesn't matter if my mouth is open or closed. I make a lot of noise when I eat. And I try to be, like, slick about it, but it doesn't work.
How about kids when they, like, gulp water?
Oh, yeah.
They make so much noise.
Mm-hmm. I do that.
But it's like my son, you know, it's like I know he's it might be this might actually be the case, but it's like he's like on the brink of full dehydration when he gets that bottle, because he's just like he just takes it to the face because he is like so loud with it. But my daughter does the same thing too. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, like, we got more water. Like, that's not it. Like, you can pace yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Doug,
I need you.
Sometimes some cold water, man, and make your fucking toes curl. You know? Oh, yeah. If you're thirsty
absolutely,
enough, and
yeah.
It's like hot,
so refreshing.
It really is. Yeah.
Hey, here's another thing. I'm wondering if it bothers you guys as much as it bothers me. What people eat when they get like shit around their lips,
dude. Sloppy eaters. They're almost one in the same though. Like the ones that open their mouth and then they get shit and they just leave it there.
They just leave it like. Oh man, when
it's
I see
like
someone
everywhere.
Yeah, when they're eating and they got some shit up here and they got some shit down here, and there's just like, I'm just like, even if you're eating with your mouth closed, lick around your fucking lips, please. Get that off. You look like a savage.
It's just another example of like dealing with how people are brought up.
Yes.
You know, no one ever told you. Like, no one, I mean, you don't need to have perfect manners. You don't need to know which fork to use and all that weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
But man, chew with your mouth closed, like a couple simple things. Keep your face clean.
Dog. I have a homie, whenever he eats, his lips get so wet. Like his lips just get so fucking wet. It's just everything's grease and crumbs. I'm just like, man, if you keep doing that shit, I'm gonna kill you. Or just do that in another room, or I just gotta leave because I can't be in front of
it. And what's really funny is like those are the people that like you can offer a napkin and they'll be like, no, I'm good. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, will you please?
No, you're not okay.
Will you please take this?
Take the fucking napkin and clean yourself up, you child. God dang. Or,
like, my daughter will, like, I mean, she's not, like, messy, but, you know, like, here's a napkin. She's like, no, I got it. And she just wipes her face with her wrist or something.
Let's go. That's, like,
hey, come on.
That's legit.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's all we got, napkins.
But we have become... We were talking about this earlier, but we've all become somewhat psychotic about mm-hmm. everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just what you eat or what you eat. It's now apparently how you walk and stand.
Walk, stand, rest.
Rest. Yeah. Yeah, because we're resting more than we're doing anything. And if we're doing that out of proper positioning or whatever, it's like we're conditioning ourselves for more bad habits.
Would be good to know how to sleep, you know? Like not, you know, there's a lot of sleep hygiene stuff mm-hmm. and there's... people that talk about it, and you hear people kind of briefly, they're like, you should sleep on your side or your mm-hmm. back, or like they mention it kind of briefly, but you don't really hear people talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we had the Gota guys here the first time, they mentioned kind of fetal position and your feet, they still wanted your inside mm-hmm. ankle bone to be high.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really? Even, in your mm-hmm. sleep, they yeah. want your inside yeah. ankle bone high?
Yeah, because you're on your back.
Because, when you're on your side,
yeah.
you have, your toes can kind of cross over each other
mm-hmm.
and both your heels can be out. One heel is like one leg is pressed against the bed and the other heel is high.
You sleep Woda. I'm trying to sound like
right.
Gary.
That's right.
Oh, sleeping Woda. Yeah. I can't do it. Oh man.
Yeah, well, my wife got assessed today and she was like, she thought it was a problem because when she sleeps on her back, her feet will go in. And so he's like, no, that's perfect. And she's like, okay, cool. She was concerned, but
sleeping goes.
Oh, yeah, your feet go out a lot of times.
Mine definitely do, yeah.
I think so many people, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The hips aren't usually, they usually don't want to turn inward when you're laying on your back. Right, and then plus, I think if you, you know, built yourself up with muscle, you probably built yourself up with a lot of muscle through squats and deadlifts and things like that. And I think they're going to kind of mm-hmm. pitch you into that position. But I think what we're learning and what we're coming upon is that there's just so many other things you can do throughout the day to kind of pick away at your fitness with hopefully better results and maybe less time in the gym and just like better all overall efficiency. And then maybe you have better all overall efficiency when you play a pickup game of basketball, or maybe you want to play softball, or you want to get into a volleyball league or something. You know, Andrew and I, we went to the 49ers, like we ran around and bounced around, and like I wasn't in a lot of pain 2 years ago, but like I was more dysfunctional and I was stiffer.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have jumped on when we first got in there, I'm like jumping on the gymnastics mm-hmm. thing, and I'm mm-hmm. jumping on the trampoline, and I went on the treadmill, and like I just wouldn't have, I would probably have not even tried a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Throwing the football around a little bit, I probably would have done that, but we were both doing it, and your back has been blown up mm-hmm. forever.
Yeah, like I mean, I didn't do the trampoline because of the back, you know. But how hilarious would it have been, Mark Bell and Andrew just fucking jumping on a trampoline
right.
at the 49ers facility? But everything else, you know, that steep ass hill, I was like, oh shit, dude! Like I was like, I don't know, it's pretty steep. But then you know, Ryan went up, and then I'm like, fuck it, let's go, and just sprinted right up the thing, and then, you know, like, hey, Ryan, we got to go backwards now. You know, we had so much fun. We were playing.
Dude, Ryan Soper, he's an asshole.
He's so strong.
And he's so athletic. Did you see him jump?
Really well.
Have you seen him jump rope?
I haven't seen him jump
rope. Isn't there jumping rope? And he's just like, he's running up and down the turf.
You know, Ryan did, y'all remembered Ryan did track though, right?
I know, he's a fucking beast.
He's track, he played basketball, he played football.
He did triple jump.
He did triple jump. I didn't know he did triple jump.
That shit's impossible.
Yeah. But
yeah, how does that?
But Andrew, an interesting thing about what you mentioned is like, I think this is something that the Gota guys have talked about. This is something that you hear talked about from Naudi Aguilar and Weck. It's like there's a lot of behavior switching that happens because mm-hmm. there's some people that look at the, you know, they look at that hill, right? And immediately there's like, I'm just going to run up it. Like there's no friction in your mind of mm-hmm. can I run up this hill without it? But some people, there's a caution thing in the back of their head where they look at it and they're like, they got to analyze it a little bit and make sure that you're equipped. But your behavior is changing mm-hmm. over time as you're doing all this, where your behavior is like now more forward. You're like, you see something, you're like, I can do that. You see something, I can do that. And it's just more and more and more into like, that's, there's no friction or minimal, less and less and less friction over time.
Yeah. The thing about like, I'll just use the hill, was I knew for sure going up would be no problem, but I was like, what's it going to be like when I got to go down? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like I could jump or whatever, but if I don't stick the landing, like that's going to be painful. So I'm like, how am I going to make it down? And then Dustin Perry, the strength coach for the Niners, was just like, oh, if you just want to go down slow, just hang on to the side. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, no shit. And then I got up there and I realized that the turf was different. It was way stickier than like the AstroTurf that they had on the rest of the field. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, oh, this is actually cool. And then once, you know, just like little kids, once they kind of get comfortable, then they go a little bit too crazy. And that's kind of what we did. We just had so much fun. We just kept going up and down that damn thing.
Yeah, we did it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I actually got kind of sore from like the workout that we did there.
Which was it was a good workout.
Kind of like brief. We didn't do a lot, but like we did enough to get, I guess, have a stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about like little kids, like how they act and how they play, I think as it's pointed out by Ricky from Gota, he was saying it's everyone's like birthright to be able to go play and do shit the way that you want to do it without hardly any reservations. I mean, maybe it's a good idea to think, oh, you know, if I'm going to do this cliff jump, like how close are those rocks? You know, how far away is that? Like, am I capable of jumping out? Like those things, I think, make sense. Like, is this safe for me? But how cool is it to be kind of uninhibited and just say, I'm just going to jump over this thing. I'm just going to do this. This is going to be a blast.
Become uninhibited. And then also over time, you know, we've realized how much certain things that we may be doing are inhibiting us. Like the, you know, to get really, really good at, and I want to, when I say this, I want to, everyone's be assured that I honestly still want to be as jacked as I possibly can be. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not sacrificing that necessarily. And like you are still, Mark, you're going towards this running stuff. You're going towards this movement stuff, but you still like to be jacked. Mm-hmm. That's not something that goes away, but you do realize, and I've realized how like, okay, to become really, really good at being able to do a heavy barbell squat, what inefficiencies build in terms of the way I move by being able to squat 600 pounds or being able to squat 500 pounds. To get really good at that position, what have I potentially done in terms of and made actually worse to the way I move to do this? And then how does that affect the way I go about everything else in life? The way I walk, the way I jump, the way I look at, you know, obstacles. Can I actually do those things? Or now, because I've become so good at this skill, other things in my body have tightened up that now I don't feel comfortable doing things that are more, that have to do with life. And then now for I think for me and for us, it's like, how do we balance and how do we figure out how to get stronger, how to maintain and gain muscle, while also becoming the best humans that we can be, as in moving the best way. Because that's like, you know, as we go and talk about all the reps you get in with each step you take as walking and all mm-hmm. of that, you realize like that's the thing that as you age, it's going to make the big difference.
That's the mover, right? I mean, how many steps a day do you get in? You know, are you having, I think what happens to a lot of people is they have a day where they got in some good training. They might have got in a couple walks. They probably mm-hmm. did pretty well on their diet. And maybe they do that for a day or two, but then it's like the middle of the week, it's hump day, it's Wednesday, mm-hmm. and they wake up a little bit later because they stayed up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
They miss the workout, they go to work, they come home from work, they're tired, like, fuck, it's still in the middle of the week, you know, that kind of thing. And it happens to everybody.
Absolutely.
It's really easy to have that happen, especially if you have a 9-to-5 job. Luckily for us, we get to kind of play around with this shit all day. So it's easy for us to sit here and be like, we got our fitness in for today.
Yep.
Meanwhile, other people are like, fuck you guys.
we
get
true,
it.
True, man.
We get it. But we're also encouraging you to try to pick this stuff off throughout the day where you can. You know, maybe you have a lunch break that you can go on a walk. Maybe instead of eating lunch, which this might sound crazy, maybe you fast and then you walk. And then when you go home, that's your time to eat. We talked about one meal a day. We've talked about intermittent fasting. Like, there's a lot of ways you can play this game, and there's a lot of opportunities to kind of pick stuff off throughout the day. But it's not just the hour in the gym, because sometimes I think people keep thinking, like, man, they keep fucking tacking things on. The fucking goddamn power project's ruining my life. And, like, I posted the thing about the Ultra shoes. And some people were like, fuck, man, now I got to order these. Like, I already got the,
Vivos.
The Vivos.
The Vibrams.
And I got the Vibrams. Now I got to get these. And there was a couple people on there. I was surprised. They were like, yeah, dude, I got all three, because you've already mm-hmm. been talking about them and they're sick and they're helping change my life. We're not really trying to have you guys stack up so much stuff that you're just completely fucked.
Mm.
We want you to insert some of this stuff into your life so it's a stronger, more efficient, better quality life. And over time, it's just going to be integrated into your life.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like part of your life. Like, Andrew brought his son into the gym today, stuff like that, like where it's just, it's not uncommon for his son to be in the gym. It's just, it's mm-hmm. incorporated into the family. Fitness, the way that you eat, it's not a shock to your son that, like, we're having, when he's 5 or 7, we're having steak for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else are we eating? Oh, it's pretty much just steak. And there's green beans, you know, like yeah. It's not uncommon. It's not like we're not getting pizza. Like, what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Boudreaux.
Yeah.
You normalize what you normalize.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever is normal is just, that's just normal. But when me and Nsima were talking about this, about like we're basically psychotic with everything now. Like, we can't do anything half-assed. We can't do anything WODA.
Said that.
I know. But
I love WODA. I think it's funny.
I just, it does. I mean, it's like when you say, like, don't be fat. Like, we understand what that means because it fits so well. Right. And I just think WODA fits really well.
Like, I just think about all those motherfuckers that have come up to me at the trade shows, you know, ask me about like bench and squat. And I'm just always thinking, like, the guy's standing so poorly right now. How can I teach this guy how to deadlift or do anything when he doesn't even know how to walk? I'm just like, fuck, man.
But so when we were talking, because, you know, we, just like everybody, you know, it's like, fuck, we gotta go grocery shopping, running out of time. Well, look, there's Habit Burger. Let's go get some meat patties and, like, let's just chill. And it's the first time we've gone inside Habit in a very, very long time. But what I remembered was,
like, Andrew,
it's been a while. Yeah. Well, dude, well, when I first started going there, they were just like, what do you mean you want meat patties? Mm. And now they have a fucking button for it. So, like, I've helped push that along the way, at least at one location. But when I was there, I was like so excited to get a Diet Coke. because like I don't buy Diet Coke. I usually if I am gonna buy Coke, it's Coke Zero. But like to have a fountain drink, like oh, this is nice. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, you know what, Diet Coke, I remember it fucking sucks. Like if you're drinking Coke and then all of a sudden you have a Diet Coke, you're like, this is gross. But here I am super fired up to be drinking this. You know, I'm like, yes, let's go. You know, no calories, like, and I'm gonna enjoy this. And then I started thinking, it's like, well, if people think that's weird, we used to get fired up for the exact same thing because at Habit, they have like the thing where it just says soda. So you get carbonated water. So you get soda water. That used to be a huge celebration. You know, so like it gets multiple layers of this shit. Mm-hmm. But it's like, can you, we'll get a little crazy with it, but like I am not too far removed from the 8-to-5 job, you know, like of Monday through Friday. One thing I do know for a fact is you start at the same time, you get a 15-minute break 2 hours into your day. Mm. Can you walk straight for 5 minutes one direction, and then as soon as that 5 minutes happens, turns around for another 5 minutes, and then you have five extra minutes for like bullshitting at your desk? Can you do that? Like, I'm pretty sure you can. When it comes to the drinks, can you try drinking a water? Can you try drinking a diet soda? It's not that difficult. And then again, so like you have your lunch break. Can you go for another 5 minutes this way, 5 minutes that way? I think you can. In another 2 hours, you have another opportunity. Maybe you missed that last one. No big deal. But like, can you do these things? They're just small little, tiny little fucking just little switch this way.
They're going to make your day better.
We're not saying like spin the crank like this, like crazy, like when we're trying to get the podcast up and running. Just a little one click over every day. Every single choice that you make is just going to add points on the scoreboard, you know, like little things like that. Like, can you do that? I think you can, right?
A small shift in your direction. We're not trying to turn you all the way back around.
Right. Yeah. There's those small little things. And it's just like, you know, you hear people like, oh, I could never drink diet. It's like, well, I mean, maybe you can find a zero calorie alternative. Pretty easy.
That's fine. That's an interesting one because though, like so many people, like you'll say, oh yeah, have some diet soda. And then there's going to be some person at the other side of the room that's like, that'll give you cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
What about the gut right microbiome?
Right? It's like with this shit, for some people, there's just no winning. But it's like, okay, can you make a better decision when it comes to some of these things? Absolutely, you can. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking, though, is like we've all had different times of different focuses. And now we all have different focuses, right? Mark, you're trying to become a better runner. And to become a better runner, you have to become a better mover. So a lot of the things you do are going to fall in line. But there was a time when, you know, your goal was to be a super strong power lifter. So everything you did was in line to do that. And, you know, if you're listening to the podcast and that's your goal, like your goal is I'm focused on bodybuilding, like I want to build as much muscle and that the physique is the goal, then focus on that. Like have your focus on that. And the same thing if you're, you know, you are a power lifter who's like, I want to be as strong with these lifts as possible. If that's your goal, that's your goal. But maybe something you can start to insert into the way you think about all these things is, okay, if I have the goal of trying to SBD as much as I can, I'm going to do everything I can with that. But now can I add in some practices in terms of like maybe some mobility prior, right? Either some go-to mobility stuff or some mobility stuff you see from Kelly, so that when I do these movements, they won't be doing as much potential damage in terms of the way I move outside of the gym. Because, you know, we know with all the spinal compression and all the compression that happens from squatting, not just on your spine, but then on your ankles, it'll actually affect the way that you take every single step during your day. The amount of individuals who do powerlifting and bodybuilding who we see who are super duck-footed, and then their steps every single day are they also pattern the way that they squat. You think about down the road, how would that lead to potential movement dysfunction? Maybe right now your movement isn't your main focus, but can you do certain things that are going to mitigate what progressing those lifts is currently doing to you? And then also as you become someone who moves better, the lifts you're doing will actually be better. Like you'll be able to probably squat more in a more comfortable position. You'll probably be able to deadlift more in a better position because now you actually move better and more functional as a human being.
It's so interesting to like hear some of these things that are now being said and have the background that I have. It, you know, these are all things that have been uttered by Louis Simmons. These are all things that I've heard him say. I mean, he's been talking about this stuff since like the 90s.
Yeah.
straight feet. He wanted people not only to squat with straight feet, but he wanted you to walk with straight feet. And when somebody walked with their feet pointed outward, he's like, that person's got weak hamstrings, Smelly. He had all these, like, you know, anecdotes and all these information on everything. And he was smart enough to understand that, like, he loved powerlifting, but he also was smart enough to understand that, like, you better figure out a way to mitigate this stuff. Cause this, these movements, they kind of suck. They're not really the smartest movements. Like I've said before, bench press, I love it. I made a lot of money off it with my product, a slingshot. Like, I love bench pressing. I'll always love it. I've always been, when I was young, I was pretty good at it right away. And it's something I've had a lot of fun with. It's a movement that I really like and I enjoy. But if you just think about it from a fundamental standpoint, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, you have both your arms pinned back behind the midline of your body with a large amount of weight. Like, people can usually bench press, even if they're not super strong, they can usually barbell bench press, especially a man can barbell bench press a lot of times their body weight, sometimes even double their body weight. Yeah. Now, that's getting to be like, that's a lot of weight. And if you think about it in a natural, you know, in nature, like, where is something like that going to occur? Like, where are you ever going to do anything like that? We're made to punch. We're made to throw. We're made to defend. We're made to carry stuff. Like, all that makes sense. But to lay down like that on your back with a fixed barbell and you have a fixed thing that your back is resting on, and it, like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. The squat with the weight on your back doesn't really make a lot of sense. The deadlift doesn't really make a lot of sense in terms of, like, that bar, you know, being something that is hard for you to, like, figure out how to manage to get close enough to. A trap bar is a little nicer on you. But anyway, Louie figuring out, let's mitigate the squat. Let's do a box squat. Let's mitigate a bench press by utilizing bands and chains because it lightens the load in the bottom of the lift where the lift is the most dangerous. Let's do board presses. Let's do pin presses, again, where the range of motion is shortened, again, much like what Joel Seedman is talking about. When it comes to deadlifting, they didn't pick – at Westside, they didn't pick weights up off the ground. Very rarely. In competition, they did. But in preparation for the competition, speed work was sometimes done off the floor, but most of the other work was rack deadlifts and partial range of motion deadlifts and good mornings. And he produced like 20-some-odd 800-plus-pound deadlifters. So he figured out, he figured it out a long time ago. And I think a lot of that is something that people can still apply today. If they still want to do some of these movements, try to figure out ways to either mitigate them or try to figure out a way to decompress from those movements. If you're going to do those movements, if you still want to squat and do a regular squat, that's fine. You still want to deadlift and you still want to get after it with the heavy movements. Again, Louis Simmons was talking about this a long-ass time ago. That's why he invented the reverse hyper. That's a decompression device. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
To decompress your spine from all the spinal loading that you're experiencing through deadlifting and squatting.
And also, like, let's not forget, we did talk about this on the recent podcast that we did with Gary and Ricky from GOTA. There's a lot of decompression happening around the ankle. I mean, not decompression. There's a lot of compression happening in the ankle. And when you're doing something like a squat, or when you get to the top of a deadlift, a lot of the movements in the gym, when you're loading, load the ankle. So that ankle's super compressed and it can't move and have the mobility that it should be able to move because it's so tight in there. So, like, with the warm-up that they have people do, there is a lot of focus on ankle decompression. It's not something that we think about, but a lot of that ankle decompression can be super actually beneficial for a lifter who's trying to be able to squat more efficiently. Because now if you actually have a bit more room in your ankle, right, and you have more ability to move in that ankle so your knee can come outwards more comfortably, you're able to get into a deeper squat with a potentially a closer foot width, and your feet don't have to be so pointed out to be able to reach that squat, right? And then when you think about all the steps you take, maybe now your steps aren't out here. Maybe now your feet can move straight because you have more room around that ankle complex. So it's I know it's a lot to think about, and it's a lot to try to, you know, put your mind on. But first, think about the goals that you have. And think about, I think, you know, athletically – right, and with our fitness, we have the goals that we have in terms of the gym. Whether we are an athlete on a specific sport that has to do with lifting, or whether we have body goals that we want to have, we have those goals. But I think another sect of goals to figure out is, like, outside of the gym, how do I want to be able to live? Like, how do I want my body to be able to function? Because I think that's a lot of the stuff that we've been really diving into. Like, okay, I want to be able to walk well so I don't have pain in these different areas. I want to be able to jump. I want to be able to hike. I want my body to be able to do all these things outside the gym. Because for most people, the gym, you know, is bolstering their body to handle life well. But then if you're doing a lot of things that's compressing your body, you know, now when you take walks, certain things hurt, your knees hurt, your back hurts, your lower back hurts, then that means that it might not be specifically doing its job, the job that you want it to do. And you might want to reassess certain things that you're doing to figure out, is this helping me right now or is it hurting me?
I like that a lot. I think if you apply that to your diet, which we've talked about before, if you're utilizing intermittent fasting, if you're utilizing something slightly different and just doing a caloric deficit, and then you do that, you employ that for 4 or 5 days, and then you end up binging on the weekend, and you overcorrected for the calories that you were trying to kind of deplete yourself of, well, then that's a good sign that your diet didn't work for that week. It doesn't mean that you can't figure it out. It doesn't mean you can't make it work. But if you try it again and it doesn't work, and you try it again and it doesn't work, then it means it doesn't. It's not working, and you need to find a different strategy. If your lifts are ending up like living in your body for too long, it's one thing to like not be able to walk up the stairs very well, not be able to get down the stairs very well because you did have a leg day that had a lot of volume to it. Those are normal things for people that are trying to get bigger, for people that are trying to get stronger. That happens, but is that like sitting around all the time? Is that there all the time? And if you're conditioned and you're trained well, then like why is it happening so often? Like you I don't think, and I don't, maybe you can chime in on this too. I don't think you should be that beat up, and I don't think you have to be that beat up in order to grow and in order to get stronger.
No, I don't think you do, but I think that's a, you know, okay. I love Mike Isertel, and Mike Isertel has very specific goals. So does some of his, the guys that he works with, like Jarek Feather. I think his name is Andy Huang.
Yeah, some of these dudes get really big.
Right, they get really big, but they have very specific goals. And their specific goals is, I'm going to be the biggest and the most jacked. And to do that, there has to be a level of intensity to my training. So when you see Mike train and you see these guys leave the gym, they're fucking like, man, these guys are throwing up. You know what I mean? But they have those very specific goals of, I want to be the biggest, right? Now, when you if you're in bodybuilding and you're a competing bodybuilder, maybe that's your goal. Maybe I still don't think that, let me put it this way. That training intensity, you can do that, but you can get to the same place if you give yourself more time. So some people are like, I want these results as fast as possible, so I need to train as intensely with all these sessions, right, so I can get from here to here very quickly. I think that if you had the more, if you took a more long-term approach, you could get to the same destination, but it would just take you a little bit longer if you just lower that training intensity. So you'd be getting to the same spot, but your training sessions wouldn't kill you so hard. But then that's the problem, is that it's hard to be like, okay, instead of me saying I want to get to this goal in 6 months, I'm instead going to give myself this goal for a year, right? And when you double the amount of time it's going to take you, but then you're training, you know, and you're not training as intensely, you feel bad because you're like, I'm not doing enough work. I'm not, I don't look like what those guys are doing in every single training session. But it doesn't, it really doesn't need to be that way if you're willing to give yourself more time. I think that if you also shift your mindset to giving yourself more time, you'll be able to kind of shift your focus to, okay, I don't want to really be in pain. I want my body to feel good. I'm still going to be gaining muscle, but you're also going to decrease your risk of potentially getting injured because, again, the sessions aren't killing you every single time. But it's hard to rectify that when you see a lot of hardcore guys making videos, like, and you see them leaving the gym and they're just fucking, they're like, I put it in today.
Right. And I think, you know, if you are somebody that wants to feel good, look good, be strong, and it's not your goal to be as jacked and as strong as possible, I think all the more reason why you don't need to necessarily limp around. Now, you might limp around here and there because you might try something new. You might try something different. You might make a mistake here and there. you might just like, oh man, I didn't realize I should have lifted a little bit less weight. Uh-huh. I should have done a little bit less sets or reps because something was new. You got excited about something. Mm-hmm. Like those things are still totally normal. And those things still happen to all three of us. Like we still get fucked over every once in a while because we're pumped up or excited about something. But the way that I've been feeling right now, and the reason why I'm so excited, the reason why I keep talking about it, and people are probably like, man, I wish he would just talk about lifting heavy again. The reason why I'm so excited about it is because I feel so good.
Yeah.
I feel really good. I have a little bit of pain in a couple areas, but the pain's been sitting in those areas for a really long time. A little bit of tendonitis in the right knee or some sort of knee pain in the right knee that's been there for a really long time. I rarely notice it anymore because it's rare that it gets flared up or it's rare that it bothers me. It doesn't hurt when I run. It doesn't hurt when I get up off a couch or out of a chair, or it doesn't really – if I do something in the gym and I try to balance on that one side, that might be the only time where I'm like, oh, yeah, that side is a little weaker than the other side.
Yeah.
A little bit of something in the left hip. Rest of the body feels really good. I don't have lower back pain. I don't have knee issues.
Yeah.
I run 4 or 5 miles almost every single day, and it's feeling really good. So that's why I'm talking about this stuff so much, is I want to share it with other people. And I think that it has a ton of value, because if we can get you to feel good, then we can get you to play good. Mm-hmm. Like if you feel good, there's going to be less inhibition behind you wanting to move. Mm-hmm. If you're hurt, if your ankle's messed up or something like that, it might be hard for you to get into motion. And then if it's hard for you to get into motion, it might be hard for you to get excited about what it is that you're trying to do to lose weight. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tougher.
Mark, this is kind of putting you on the spot a little bit. And obviously, it's two completely different time periods. But we'll just say, I don't want to say in comparison, but like the amount of, I'll just say how good you felt squatting over 1,000 pounds, like that brought you some joy. That made you feel a certain way. But then now, fast forward to, I forgot how old you are now, but you're in your 40s. Mm-hmm. You're running. You aren't limping around like some of your peers back then. Like again, I don't want to compare the two, but like, how good does it feel to be able to do that in comparison to how good it felt to lift the weight? Because I know a lot of people. I'm still one of those people that's like, yeah, but I'm not jacked like you guys, so I'm going to fight through some of this pain because I need to get there, and then maybe I'll assess once I'm there. Never going to get there. But you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean you want me to move around? Like, I haven't even gotten step one down yet where I got the muscle. Like, there's no way I'm going to slow that down in order to, you know, work on this mobility.
You know, being able to do the stuff that I did in that vertical of powerlifting was fun. Was really cool. It was amazing, and it felt incredible. Especially because that was my world. Like that's what I was focused on. That's what I was honed in on. So the comparison is a little hard because my life has changed so drastically in so many different ways, and I wasn't at 32 or whatever I was, or 35, however old I was when I first squatted 1,000 pounds. I just wasn't as grateful for my body as I don't even know if I recognized that I had much genetic potential, which obviously you squat a fucking 1,000 pounds. There's a lot of genetics behind that. There's a lot of things behind it, right? There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of putting in a lot of time and effort. There's a lot of genetics. There's a lot of luck, I would say too. Like I'm not afraid to just say, just flat out, sometimes there's like a little luck involved in some of this stuff. And you can kind of view that whatever way you want. As luck is, you know, when you're prepared for something, I don't know. But, you know, meeting Louis Simmons and having some of the opportunities that I've had over the years, they're definitely things that ended up being huge advantages. But the way that I feel running, it's like I can't even like put it into words. Like I'm running and I sometimes like put my hands over my head. And then I think about it later. I'm like, there's probably somebody, because like when I run the Arboretum, there's like a big pond.
Yeah.
And there'll be people like kind of walking on the other side of the pond, or sometimes there's somebody walking in front of me or behind me. I'm like, people are probably like, this guy's having a fucking religious experience as he's like running. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the reason why I'm moving my arms around is just because your arms get a little stiff and stagnant just from like the motion of running. and it's nice to move your arms around a little bit. But I do feel like I'm like victorious. Mm-hmm. Like I feel fucking amazing. So I have just like a different appreciation for life in general and for my body nowadays. So running, even though I'm not doing anything spectacular when I'm running, that alone, just a workout for running, feels better than me squatting 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important because, like I said, you know, there's people that are chasing the 1,000 squat or whatever. You know, who knows? Maybe those guys are locked in, but the ones that, you know, they're the kind of the weekend warrior. Like, no, this is my thing, though. But it's like, man, it could still be your thing, and then you could also be here 20 years from now, being like, I'm glad I made that. I went down that road of like following these power project guys and getting, you know, my mobility straight and putting my foot straight when I walk and all these other, you know, random little things that we figure out.
You know, there is a big difference between, because I think about, like, for example, when I was focused on bodybuilding and competing in bodybuilding, right? There's a big difference when you're very focused on, and everyone that is on a fitness journey does want to get in better shape. So there is this innate focus on how my body looks over time. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to lose body fat. I'm trying to gain muscle. So there's this focus on the way your physique looks. And when you focus on that, it's hard to also be like, okay, not only am I now focusing on the way my body looks, which in and of itself has so many drawbacks and causes so much potential insecurity and so much dysfunction as far as like potential eating disorders and all of that shit. But another thing to start to think about is, okay, not just how my body looks, but how my body moves and functions every single day. Like what my body has the ability to do. And that's where I think that it's very beneficial to pick up some type of practice that isn't focused on the way you look. Because inherently, when you start training in the gym, most people do it to transform their body. So there's this focus on, I look like this. But if you have a practice outside of that, that's like maybe a boxing gym, right? Or a martial art like jiu-jitsu, or just something that is more focused on what your body can do, even CrossFit. I know so many people have shit to say about CrossFit. You leave the focus on the body, it's still going to be there. You're still going to want to look a different way. But then it's like, all right, this is what my body can do. Not just with the barbell, but with running. This is what my body can do with running. And this is how my body feels. And having that movement practice will get you out of just, I look like this. But now you have an appreciation for, wow, I can move like that. You know, with jiu-jitsu and all the variable movement, as you practice it, you become surprised at like the types of things that your body's able to do on one hand, on one leg, et cetera. And as you build these abilities, you do gain an appreciation for the ability my body has versus just what my body can look like. And then you also realize that what I think personally is the ability that my body has is much more important than the way my body looks. I know some people are going to say you're a fucking asshole because you already have the body you want. But I, when I think about the importance for me, the way I look is way less important than what I can do, because what I can do is something that I feel every day. If I had dysfunction in terms of the way I was, and I do have some dysfunction in the way I walk and my relaxing positions or whatever, but when I had more dysfunction, I would feel that more. Mm-hmm. When I'd go and take a simple hike, I'd get out of the hike and I'd be like, fuck, why are my knees sore? Right? Well, why is my lower back hurt? Right? That is dysfunction in the way my body moves. And even though my body looks great, it doesn't move as well as it potentially could.
And for how long, you know, that's another thing. You know, we saw some of the go-to guys talking about some of the receivers and some people making certain cuts on the field, doing certain things certain ways. And I don't know, maybe you get to the end zone that way. Like maybe you beat somebody on a pass pattern and you catch the ball and you score. Mm-hmm. But for how long? And for, you know, with whatever it is that you're doing, your powerlifting, your CrossFitting, how long can you keep landing in the clean position with your knees nearly touching each other every time that you catch a clean? Like can we just agree that like that just does not look right? Like it doesn't, that doesn't look, can you work on it? Can you use lighter weight? Can you try to have your feet straighter? Or if you can't even figure that out, if that's too difficult, because I don't know, maybe your body mechanics, maybe you've been lifting that way for a long time. Maybe you're a high-level Olympic lifter and you just are like, fuck it, man, I'm just going to lift it. Can you decompress? Can you work on it in the other 23 hours that you have in a day? Which you don't really have another 23 because you've got some time for sleep, right? But can you work on it in another fashion? Is there another way that you can work on it? You know, if you remember when you had Squat University on, I always forget the guy's actual name.
Aaron Horsching.
When we had him on talking about working on what you could work on and fix what you can fix, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because that allows you to go to jiu-jitsu and for you to do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
That allows me to still do meathead-like shit in the gym. I'm going to work on what I can work on and I'm going to fix what I can fix.
Yeah.
Now that I have new knowledge, I'm going to apply that and I'm going to fix what I can fix. But it still doesn't mean that I'm not going to work on what I can work on because I have a skill set developed in powerlifting. So it's a disservice to myself in some ways to not squat or to not deadlift or to not – those are movements that I like. They're movements that I enjoy. So I still want to figure out ways of doing them in some way. Not to my detriment though. I'm not going to do them any longer. I mean, I still might fuck with them here and there to my detriment mistakenly in like experiment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like today, I ended up doing a set with every kettlebell that we have. I just picked them up off the ground. And I was like, let me just mess with kind of like squat deadlifting them. And then I'm like, I'll get on my toes and I'll kind of push the hips back and I'll pick it up kind of with my inside ankle bone high. And I'll put it back down and I'll try to keep the inside ankle bone high. So I did that and I did sets of three, and I went up to the heaviest one that we have, which is like the 206 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I moved that shit around, and it felt good.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'm still going to incorporate what I want to incorporate, but also I'm going to play around with – it doesn't make any sense for me to do stuff and only listen to Gary. What does Gary know about the fucking gym? Gary don't know fucking shit about the gym.
Aww.
Clip that.
No, I'm fucking around.
Our boy Gary doesn't know shit about
Gary.
The gym. You know what I mean?
People are going to be like, dude, there was like 10 seconds of just bleeping. What happened?
you know, Gary and Ricky, you know, put them both in that boat. Like, they know a lot about human movement.
Yeah.
And I respect the fuck out of that. And that's why I'm listening to them on this overall system type of thing. And I'm going to pay attention to that as much as I possibly can. But I was even telling your wife today when she was going through some of the drills with Ricky, I said, don't forget, you know, trust your own intuition. As I was telling you with your hip, you're like, I'm not really feeling that too much. And like, Andrew, you know what to do. Like he's trying to get you to feel your hip or your glute. Just go for it. You might have to move a different way. And then you were like, oh yeah, okay, now I feel it. A lot of us have been lifting for a long time. A lot of us have been in the gym for a long time. So don't wipe out your own intuition and what you already know. Just keep your belief system open so that you can challenge that a bit from time to time so you can get better.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Merrick Health, the premium telehealth clinic owned by Derek for More Plates, More Dates. Now, when some people think about Merrick Health, they think it's just another one of those testosterone companies or another one of those blood work companies. But Merrick Health is really cool because, yeah, you can get your blood work done, you can get hormone optimization, but you can also get nootropics. You can also get Viagra. You can get literally whatever you need from that clinic, and they make it very, very easy for you. That's why we love Merrick. So, Andrew, how can people learn about it?
Yes, Merrick Health is not just a one-trick pony, but if you did want to get your labs done, we highly recommend the Power Project panel. That's 28 different labs. That's also going to come with a client care coordinator that's going to give you a lab analysis, and they're going to work with you and help you optimize your body. Again, that's at merrickhealth.com/powerproject. At checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save $101 off that entire panel. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
You know, this is the really interesting thing about what you're saying. First off, you mentioned the play aspect of things, right? So because exactly what you're talking about is what I've been doing. I've been doing a lot of movements in the gym, but instead of doing them the standard way, like doing a kettlebell swing, both legs planted on the ground, gripping the ground and swinging, I lifted up. I went on my toes, so my heels were off the ground.
Staggered stance.
I did a staggered stance swing. And the funny thing is, as we talk about this stuff, people are going to be like, or if you do that, they're going to be like, that's unsafe. You're going to get a lot of people injured talking about doing stuff that way. Because within lifting culture, everything has been done one way. You squat with your heels planted on the ground. Potentially you have Olympic lifting shoes, but your knees come out, heels planted on the ground. You do all these movements, heels planted on the ground for safety. But you think about it, you're like, okay, that might not be good for the ankle. It's probably not good to compress the ankle. Now it affects the way you walk and move and all these other things. So can we change the way we lift to potentially respect the way we move and potentially even enhance the way we move? So instead, like I mentioned, kettlebell swing, I do a staggered stance. I'm on my toes and I'm swinging that way. Instead of doing a normal deadlift and picking something off the ground, I might do a staggered stance, trap bar deadlift, right? Heels off the ground and lift that way. And I know when it comes to the go-to stuff, there's still those front chain dominant stuff or whatever, but I'm not going to stop fucking lifting, right? But I can take those concepts of, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't have all this pressure in my heels. It's not good for my ankle complex. Let me now think about how to keep my ankles decompressed when I lift. And you have to play around. You also have to be kind of smart with the loads you use. If you guys want to mess around with this, I suggest you do go and mess around at the gym, but respect the load. Don't go try to load something super heavy when first trying it out, like the kettlebell swing thing I just mentioned, or Mark, you put a bar on your back and you squatted with your heels off the ground. When I've done that too, and it feels pretty fucking good.
Yeah, with 25s on each side.
Yeah, with 25s on each side.
You know,
you could do that, number one. Also, you could do that with a kettlebell, a staggered stance kettlebell. You could have kettlebells here in a clean position, and then you could squat down, keeping your heels off the ground. But respect load. And I think that's one concept that all of us have been utilizing and changing with the way we lift. We still lift. I still fucking love lifting every single day. But now it's not about the load that I have on the bar. I don't give a fuck about having super heavy load on the bar. What I mainly care about is movement quality and being able to go through a good range of motion while keeping good movement quality. But that's a hard thing when what you see with a lot of people is like, how heavy they can load a specific bar, how much weight they can do with the movement. When that's the focus, you get yourself into really dangerous, murky territory with injury. But if you instead focus on movement quality and what you're doing, the way you're moving with the load, you should probably be okay.
And you mentioned Olympic lifting shoes. You know, what are Olympic lifting shoes? They're a mitigator for bad form and bad technique.
Yeah.
What would be the best way to mitigate an Olympic lift? Other than not doing it, the best way to mitigate an Olympic lift would be to do it barefoot and allow yourself to, and people might be like, oh, your feet might not move around really well. Well, it might be hard to move around on some of the surfaces, but usually they have kind of like a wood surface. Mm-hmm. So you might have to be careful because your legs might slip if you get sweaty or if the platform gets wet at all.
Oh, yeah.
You might end up with a, you know, with getting screwed over on something like that. But You want to be able to, you know, be able to move your feet and to be able to express all the things that your feet can do. And your feet are a massive part of that Olympic lift. The Olympic lifting shoe is made and it's elevated in a way to help you get around inefficient ankle movement and inefficient ankle mobility.
Yeah.
And it also helps bypass the hips being inefficient in relation to your hips in relation to the mobility of your ankles as well. So you look at Olympic lifters, they get down in these beautiful positions to move the weight, but very rarely do they execute the lift where you could say, I mean, even your average lifter who doesn't know much about Olympic lifting can watch an Olympic lift and say, that did not look very good. Like, that didn't look right. Like, that looks like an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've seen so many people in the CrossFit community get hurt, because they're trying Olympic lifting and they're trying gymnastics, which are both complex movements that challenge your range of motion. And when you start to do that with heavier weights, it can be very compromising. You're now in the bottom position. What did Ricky say on the podcast the other day? Work on that top position for a while. Let's see what that looks like for a while. When you go to squat down, don't start out by getting yourself right to the bottom. Don't worry about what the bottom looks like. Worry about what the top looks like. Do a quarter squat. Do a half squat. Do you have that down? Is that looking pretty good? Your knees tracking properly? Does that look okay? If that looks okay, go ahead and sink it down to three quarters. Okay, does that still look good?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still holding position? I mean, again, the average person listening to this, you don't need to be a coach. You don't need to be somebody who knows a lot about this. You can be honest with yourself and you can say, nah, you know what? Record it. you'll see for yourself, like, I broke down a little bit there. Yeah. My ankle bone did kind of shift in. And I hate being too much of a stickler for form. But when we're talking about starting to overload your body and you're starting to talk about lifting more and more weight, you got to be more and more cautious the higher up that you go. And with the range of motion that you have. So you got to be kind of, you know, and another thing too that I've examined and thought about more recently was we teach people, hey, you know, when you're doing most of these movements, have kind of a soft knee, you know, like somebody who's going to like water ski, somebody who is going to come into the gym and someone's going to do some curls, someone's going to do tricep push down, somebody's going to do any of these movements. We usually say, hey, let's mitigate some of the stress. You don't have to have your legs locked out all the way on these exercises, okay? So just bend the knees a little bit as you're doing your curls. Why don't we also just say, hey, let's get your feet straight. And then can we also, if you want to add a little bit of element of something a little different, can you get on your toes a little bit during your curls? It just makes them more challenging. I don't see anything wrong with it. Is it going to take away from your biceps? Because your calves are now activated a little
bit. Some people are going to be like, it's going to limit how much I can put on my biceps though, bro.
When I was doing some curls, it could. And you could plant your heels if you want, but just have your feet straight. And then also you might want to try to grab the outside edge with your feet so that way your ankle bone is still in a good position. You put those chucks underneath you, right? Mm-hmm. And you can make sure that you're not touching those things. But when I was doing some curls the other day in the gym, I was like, well, let me be respective to, you know, just kind of moving back and forth from one way to the other. So I took the 35s and I was doing alternating dumbbell curls. I think doing one leg at a time, one arm at a time, any of these types of things are all decent ideas when you're training, because then it's going to just add, as you were doing with the kettlebells, it's going to add just another element to where your spine is moving, your body is going to be moving in some athletic positions that maybe doesn't always get an opportunity to move into. So along with, you know, having like a soft knee and just proper alignment, when you go to do a movement, why not get up on the toes a little bit, have the feet straight?
You know, another thing is, okay, so we're talking about all these things in the gym that we're doing and fucking with and the way we're messing around with the way we lift. But one of the big things that we've been talking about is like every single step that we take during the day now that we're walking, we've adjusted. You know, number one, using barefoot shoes, barefoot sandals, the way you stand and the way you moved, you are more in tune with that, because normal shoes will have this padded arch and all this support that will allow you to put weight in areas that you typically would feel very uncomfortable putting weight in if you wore barefoot or wearing barefoot shoes. So that's one of the advantages of having barefoot shoes or barefoot sandals, because now there's more proprioception with what your foot is doing and the awareness of how you are now moving through space. Okay, we have that. Now, we're also paying attention to keeping our feet forward when we walk. And when we're walking, we're not just dumping all this weight into our heel and slamming down, number one, because with barefoot shoes or barefoot or barefoot sandals, you cannot dump as much weight into your heel that you used to when you were wearing normal shoes. These normal shoes all have all that padding. Mm. Normal shoes change the way you walk. So now we're very aware of, wow, okay, I can't put as much weight into my heel when I take a step. Then we're also paying attention to now when we put our weight in our heel, we now need to put our weight into the outside of our foot and then drive off like the second toe in that area so that we're not collapsing our arch with every step we take. These things all work together, right? So, and walking is one of the things that we talk about walks all the time, get 8 to 10,000 steps. If every step you take, I think David Weck says, if every step you take is stronger, think about how that compounds over time. Let's say you're getting 8,000 steps a day, 56,000 steps a week. What's that going to be? Maybe what? 224,000 steps a month, right?
Sure.
In a year, it's going to be 2.2 million good steps, or actually 2.8 million good steps that you're taking during a fucking year. Holy shit. You know how that's going to change the way that you go through life as a human being with every step actually being correct? But now think about the opposite side of things. When we weren't so psychotic about this, and maybe when we were just walking normally, all the weight that we were dumping into our arches every single step of the day, taking millions of steps a year, doing that, how much dysfunction that then has on the knees, the hips, the feet, right? This stuff isn't immediate, but this shit adds up over time. And then if you're at work, we always talk about, like, not sitting, standing. If you have the ability to stand at work, you know, while we're at the podcast desk, we have these WEC, we have these WEC wedges, right? I'm over here on the WEC wedges, fucking scoping my ankle as I stand here. I think people have probably been seeing it. They're like
soul steps.
These soul mm-hmm. steps from David WEC, right? I have my feet on them. Mm-hmm. They're kind of pointing a little bit in towards each other. And then I'm literally just scoping my ankle during every podcast interview. Right. So now I'm getting that mobility work as I'm doing this. And when I work during the day, if I work standing, I'm scoping my ankle. But then if I sit, I'm fucking sitting in Seiza, I'm sitting cross-legged, I'm sitting on the ground so that I don't get all this dysfunction from seats. So figure out what you can do. The stuff you do outside of the gym can propel you way farther than the gym can. Because if you're only spending an hour in the gym, mm-hmm. but as you said, Andrew, the other hours that you're awake, you know, if those are spent doing the right things, this shit can happen. It'll compound a lot.
And it's addicting. Yeah, it's so addicting. You know, just as addicting as we, or as addicted as we are to the gym and, you know, making gains or whatever. You know, you go for that 10-minute walk and you're just like, oh shit, I'm like, yeah, I'm in it right now. You know, like I'm making progress right now. And then also like, you know, we, you know, like you were saying, like, you know, we get into the gym to like help our physique, you know, whether it be to lose weight, gain muscle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you see somebody that like, oh shit, I think I'm bigger than that person. Like, or I got more muscle. Like, fuck yeah. Like you get fired up. Well, now when you're walking straight, you see everybody else that's duck footing. You're just like, shit. Well, like I'm doing something a little bit better than them. And then I think about that with like,
you want to just go up to the person and say, you're a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Walk away. You'll be like, what? What the like, fuck is that?
I'm
that
guy had better than you, you fucking peasant.
That guy had his nose so high up. What the fuck is that?
That's fucked up.
That's great.
When it comes to like diet, the way we walk, a lot of these good habits.
Yeah.
You know, like what you were saying, like when we spent, you know, my entire life walking, you know, with my feet out and like causing back pain and all these things. But it's like now that I'm reversing that, it's sort of like, you know, my knees are aging the opposite way than they're supposed to. Same thing with like the diet, you know, it's like we're going to be able to maintain our like, I don't know, just how healthy we feel mm-hmm. like into our old, like later ages or later years. And then for like my son, I keep telling my wife, I'm just like, hey, like we keep feeding him this way, which is like right now, basically like carnivore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if we just make sure that he stays on this path, like he's going to be in the top 1%. Like, do you understand like how like incredible that's going to be and how like impossible it is these days? Cause it's so easy to feed kids yummy food cause it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, it's like these small little, I mean, that's not a small little habit, but like the walking, you know, and of course the exercise too, but then like the diet too, it's like, man, we could be setting him up for like the absolute best life that he could ever have.
When he's 8 years old, he can make a decision, you know, and he can say, you know, dad, I want to play baseball. And when he goes and plays baseball, he'll be the kid on the team that has muscle.
Right.
Everybody remembers the kid. Everybody remembers a couple kids when you were in school.
Yeah.
Jason Hudak. I could think of his name right off the top of my head. And his fucking brother, too, was shredded. His brother had a sick mullet, too, by the way.
Ooh, sick.
But yeah, they look like they were on PEDs, those little fuckers. I mean, they were smaller guys, smaller frame guys, but they were lean as shit. Yeah. And I remember like being kind of the bigger kid, being the husky kid. Those were my nemesis, like when it came to like arm wrestling and shit like that. Like at lunchtime. Yeah. I mean, I remember still being able to beat them just because I outweighed them by 700 pounds. But when it came to like running, it came to push-ups. I mean, those guys could fucking move. They were the fastest kids on the playground. And it was just like, I think for them, I don't think they're on a specific diet or anything. Yeah. But I think that the parents had, good habits. I think the parents did have good habits because they're all very athletic. They're all in really good shape. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why not give your, we're trying to give our kids the best opportunity possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's super annoying to all of a sudden try to change everything on a kid that's 13. Like that's a little that mm-hmm. gets to be a lot harder. Hey, I don't know, stand up straight, you know, fix your shoulders, or that gets to be weird. But when they're really young, they say, hey, this is the way that we're going on a walk, it's important that you keep your feet straight. You're going to find like if down the road, hey, you know, you can point out Uncle so-and-so, he was a good football player.
Yeah.
You know, he moved really well. Like part of the reason why he was a good football player, he trained really hard. and he moved really well. And if you want to move like him, or if you want to move like your favorite, you point out the favorite baseball player, you want to move like that guy, you want to be able to throw the football like Jimmy G from the 49ers, like that guy pays attention to a lot of these other things, pays attention to his diet. Let's get you walking with your feet straight. Let's get you doing some of these things. Whatever way you got to encourage them when they're young, and then they'll have those habits ingrained in them.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, and then for like, you know, like for my daughter, you know, she just turned 14, you know, and so like we are trying to like all the shit's clicking, you know, so it's like, damn, like, you know, you feel like, oh, I missed out on so many opportunities, like so much time has passed, you know, some of these different patterns have been locked in already. But for her, right, if I say, dude, keep your feet straight, like, you know, get in your back chain, like all these, you know, I'm just
eye roll.
Right. It's just like, ugh. But again, normalize what you normalize. Mm-hmm. When it's, you know, there will be like sweets in the house from time to time, but she doesn't reach for them as often as you would think, you mm-hmm. know, because they're there. Like she has candy from like Halloween from like 8 years ago. Like it's just always there. And it's like, kind of like, it's gross. So like I leave it there because it's like, if she does have candy, it's going to have a bad response. Yeah. But so what is she listening to? She's listening to the actions that we take every day. You know, so that's like the number one way that I can say like I am helping to teach her how to do things is like yeah.
She's listening to you and Stephanie talk about having your feet straight at the dinner table.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And she's seeing us sit on the floor when we do watch Stranger Things, you know, like it's just exactly. She's listening to us by just watching.
And that's the thing, though. It's like when we have Matt Boudreau on and, you know, his kid's fucking correcting him. It's because he made, you know, he made certain things and certain actions mm-hmm. normal. It's like, this is the way we do things. And if I tell you to do this, you can correct me when you see me not doing it. It's like when we bring these people on, when they tell us about certain things, we're fucking doing it. So mm-hmm. if you do have kids, right, and you're trying to do that, well, your kids will model you. Right. So they'll be like, well, I mean, you do it. So, you know, let me take that. And I, you know, one thing I really do dig is that we fucking are actually changing things. You know, none of us here think we're some fucking some fucking ideal level of perfection. We all have these inefficiencies that we're currently working on. And that's why we're trying to talk about it, because we're like, fuck, like if we, you know, I've been able to get my feet to a certain point and actually change certain behaviors. I know if I can do this, then everybody can do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be a constant progression. But you got to remember, it does not happen quickly. Be patient with yourself with this shit, because it takes, you're going to have to be aware of how you do things through your day. As you fix it, don't get mad at yourself, just adjust and move forward.
I'm very rarely sedated, you know, as we talked about in this podcast before. And I've mentioned many times, like doing two things at once. And some people think the quality of like one thing goes down, you're doing something else. But like if I'm doing something kind of boring, like decompressing at the end of the day, it's kind of boring, you know, just sitting there watching TV. I love spending time with my wife. I love spending time around my kids. But when I go home from here, I'm not really doing a whole lot. And that's good. Like, I shouldn't be doing I did a whole lot during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with you guys. I did a bunch of podcasts probably. I lifted. I was alone with my own thoughts through either a run or a walk. Like, I practiced all those things. I may have already cold plunged for the day, depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
But like last night when I was watching some TV, I'm in like a recliner and I'm like rubbing my calves on like a baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I'm always doing something. I was sitting there playing with my toes. I'm like, that damn right pinky toe. I still can't get it to move the way I want.
Uh-huh.
And it's in between, yeah, focusing on like a show that I'm watching with my wife, but it's not harming anything. It's not, I'm not sitting there like texting or trying to plan the work day the next day or anything like that. If I have to do something like that, then I'll walk away and I'll email or whatever. If I have to do something, I usually just get away from whatever the environment is that I'm in so that it's clear that I'm like, I've moved on to doing something else for a moment, pause the TV or something like that. But after I was messing around with the calf thing, I threw some Normatec boots on and puffed up my legs and did that shit too. I don't know if you guys have ever messed with that thing.
What is that?
Oh yeah.
Those things are dope.
What does it do?
They're just like
it's like a compression cuff.
Big
giant
like,
compression cuff. Giant penis pump for your legs.
Big sleeping bags that go around your legs, but then they get pumped full of air. But it's not just like what is compression, but like then the compression will like go up and then go down. It's like kind of gets blood flowing.
Jacking your leg off.
So it is jacking your leg off.
It's sick.
Okay.
It's intense too. Like I put that shit all the way up.
Of course.
And like slows your feet up. And then it goes up your legs and it goes like to your knee and to your quad. I have like I have ones for like the hips, which I haven't fucked with yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what the fuck that feels like, because it already kind of I had a couple times where it unfortunately caught a nut in there.
And it kind of like that would hurt.
Yeah, yeah, I had to like kind of pull it out and move it out of the way and stuff. It was really weird. But
super elastic.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. Yeah, it's hot out here, you know? It's hot here in Sacramento, so it's going to hang down a little bit.
Quick question, guys. I do have something else I want to mention after this, but I have a question for you because our boy Angelo was talking about it. How do you feel about boxers? I mean, I currently do wear boxers, by the way, you know? Angelo got me thinking, because Angelo, when I was talking about like, oh, my boxers are so sweaty and I'm about to go podcast, I smell, he's like, do you ever have to like reach down to your shorts and maybe adjust your boxers like that? I'm like, yeah, man, I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And Angelo's like, I don't ever do that because I'm perpetually commando. And I'm like, why don't I do that?
Yeah, he said he only wears boxers when he benches.
Does he get a hard on when he benches?
Like, I mean, yeah.
Like, why do we wear boxers is my question.
I think too revealing if you're always commando. I mean, there's certain shorts that are like,
yeah, but
sometimes you gotta contain that monster.
Okay, so this is the thing. I thought about that and I was just like, okay, I mean, I get it.
And sometimes like some shorts or certain things have like a little bit of a chafe to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're trying to toughen up your dick a little bit, then maybe I could see the, you know, you're
all right. So let's get all the small dick jokes out of the way. But let's think about this real quick. Like, one of the reasons why I do wear boxers is because I am scared of potentially getting aroused in public. That's the true reason. Because like you see something, you're like, I have a woman
dragging the sled.
Right. I see one of you guys dragging the sled or whatever.
Because like boxer briefs will like aim you down.
Yeah,
downwards.
It'll aim you down.
So like there's some resistance there.
So it'll just be like there and you can still chill.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're commando, you're just like chubbed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that. But still, going commando is so much more comfortable. Where I'm just like, maybe I should consider this. I just don't want to be caught in sexual harassment for anything.
Luckily, we don't have anyone that would get you in trouble.
No HR!
Yeah, I mean, you can run into some issues here and there. I think, I don't know, like for the most part, probably be okay. It just depends on what you're wearing.
Yeah, because I always find myself pulling him down. I'm like, Angelo, you have a point. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, I don't like it. I don't like having to pull my boxers down all the time. Maybe I just shouldn't wear them anymore.
I wear them less now, but I still wear them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if, I don't know, like, because sometimes I'll wear shorts to sleep, but I'm not wearing boxers under that. Like, fuck no. And then sometimes, like, I'll wake
up.
But
you wear shorts? What do you mean you wear shorts to sleep?
Like Vuori shorts are so comfortable. Like, so I just take my boxers off and then I go Vuori. Like, that's it.
Okay.
And then sometimes, like, I got to run somewhere in the morning. Like, I'll just be like, fuck it. I'm not going to grab boxers. I'm just going to take a shower and then go. Like, and then that's just what will be like that for the day.
I try to sleep naked, but it's complicated.
I'm way too horny. I can't do that.
Whoa! Okay.
Can't keep your hands off yourself?
No, it's just instantly I'm just like, I'm going to find stuff. Like, I can't do it. Like, it has to be like tucked
your
away.
Dick's like magnetically
yes.
going towards your...
Yeah. No, it's like just I can't do it.
Yeah. You know, okay. This is actually a curiosity. We were talking about the way you sleep at the beginning of the podcast, right? We were talking about that. If you go deep down that rabbit hole, there are going to be people that say, oh, mattresses are too comfortable and too soft. Like,
sleep on the floor.
Doesn't Liver King sleep on some hard surface?
Yeah. Okay. Like some plywood and bricks and shit.
So that's something. But I'm curious, how do y'all sleep? Because I sleep in the nude. My girl sleeps in the nude too. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't
Well, you guys
wanna
take
sleep.
Care of each other's. Issue that I run into all the time, right? Because if you're both naked, you have no kids, you just
but sometimes we do just sleep. Like, it's not like every day.
Weird.
You know,
sometimes
we do just sleep, but if I put on some boxers to bed, now I feel too restricted. Right? So I'm just like, this is actually, we should put a poll up. How many of you guys sleep naked versus sleeping with clothing on? That's an interesting thing.
Sleeping
right
face down is a trick. Sometimes if you're naked,
mm-hmm.
you figure out like how to kind of get your
And so like for
nah, yeah. I can't. Do you ever sleep face down?
Yeah, sometimes yeah. I do. Sometimes yeah. like I don't know if I have a like really hard time falling asleep. I sometimes will go on to like my stomach and I'll be like to the side. You know, I'll be kind of mm-hmm. like to the side. You know, one yeah. leg up kind of deal or whatever. But
yeah.
then I gotta like orient my junk the particular way.
Yeah, I can't because so I sleep with a pillow between my knees, and so my dick's just gonna be all over this pillow.
yeah, so
I can't. And it gets hot. You know, like I do have. The 8 sleep mattress all the way cold, but like as like the temperature gets warmer in the yeah. morning, like I sometimes I'm just like whew, sweaty down there.
You know what's funny when she left because she was gone for like a week.
It was been a really rough week, guys.
It was a rough week.
And Seema's been really like
yeah. tense. Yeah. Had a lot of energy. but I was legit sleeping with a pillow. Like you like when she left, I went in bed the first night. I was like. God damn, something's missing. And then I yeah. grabbed a pillow and I cuddled with the pillow. I was like, oh.
Like, okay. She's, no. I was going to say she's been replaced, but I'm
you're
not
like
going to say
dog,
that.
You're like a dog, like lying in their clothes, you know?
Oh, we got off track.
No.
Nope. There was something
it's
else.
Gone
no,
forever.
No, it's not gone.
You put
Andrew,
her
stop.
Panties on your head and went to sleep. Didn't
that's
you?
How you got
oh, yeah. I sniffed the fuck out of those See, panties and just it. Went to town on myself. No I love choice. That smell.
I knew it.
It's, don't you, though? Like,
yeah.
Oh, best. It's the best thing ever.
It's amazing.
What were we about to mention, though? This was actually quite important.
The last thing I wrote down was never sedated, but that was 10 minutes ago.
Never sedated.
Oh, what, yeah. What, just like doing multiple things at mm-hmm. once kind of deal. And. Yeah, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it is gone forever.
It wasn't good. But we were going to talk
yes, so.
We were going to talk about Mind Bullet.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
going to talk about cuz I sent you a clip.
Oh yeah, let's see
yeah,
this shit.
Joe Rogan and Tom Segura were talking about Mind Bullet today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so small.
Oh okay. Shit.
Well, that's what she said.
I know.
We got the audio. That's fine.
I can't see.
I like the Kratom. Have you taken that?
I have taken Kratom.
Have you taken it as a pre-workout?
No, well, yes. Well, I've taken it as a bunch of different things, but you know, Chris Bell, Chris yeah. and Mark Bell. Yeah, we were talking about him the other day. So, Chris Bell's the one who turned me on to it.
That's who turned me on to it.
And so, he tells me if you take a small amount, it's sort of like a mild stimulant, like a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But if you take a larger amount, it has a different effect. So, I go, well, how many do you take? And he goes, well, before I work out, I take 10. I go, 10? 10?
I didn't know that.
You take 10?
Capsules.
I go, yeah. So I take 10. So I took 10, and I was high and I was high. Fuck.
Took, wait, did you take 10 vials?
10 pills.
10 pills. Okay.
Yeah.
No, thank
the,
goodness.
The vials, the liquid form.
Oh, the liquid form.
Is
oh
more
God.
Potent.
Oh, no.
I take one of the – I've been doing it for a couple weeks.
Yeah?
And I fucking ready to go.
I Does love it make you feel like you're ready to work out, like you feel better?
I do.
It's a weird drug.
It's a weird drug, though, because – if I'm being totally honest, I also feel more confident on it.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
I feel, I'm just like, I don't know. I
feel more confident, but that's good, right?
I think it's good for going into a workout. It makes me laugh because you say that and somebody goes, you mean like cocaine?
It's kind of like opiate, right?
I mean, I've heard different commentary about it.
Yeah.
But I just know that I really liked it for their stuff, Mind Bullet. I really liked it.
Yeah.
There we go. There's a good Mind Bullet ad right there.
Holy shit. Hey, man.
MindBullet.com, promo code POWERPROJECT, save you a shit ton of money.
Hey, actually. Yeah,
they were talking about that off of Tom talking with Rogan about the book that Tom Segura wrote. Tom Segura wrote a New York Times New York Times best-selling book. So he's a New York Times best-selling author. And so he's talking about having deadlines for that. And he was talking about working and – Rogan brought up Adderall and he's like, you know, I haven't never messed with Adderall before. And they were both talking about how they both think that they would like Adderall too much. So they were like, we never messed with it. And that's when Tom Segura brought up Kratom. He's like, you ever tried Kratom? So he really likes it for that kind of stuff. I don't know. Get you in a flow state, make you kind of feel better.
Dude, from somebody that came from like, you know, I've said many times searching for like the right nootropic to kind of get me in that flow state. I mean, spending hours editing photos and videos and stuff, nothing worked as good as Mind Bullet. Like, it's as far as like getting into that flow state quicker, but then also like staying zoned in, you know, like there's nothing that comes close to it. And I've tried a bunch of different nootropics. I even tried Adderall before, and I'm glad that by the time I got to Adderall, it was already way overhyped because I was expecting, you know, the Limitless pill.
Right.
And when I tried it, I was just like, this is okay, but like in comparison to Mind Bullet, I was like, this is kind of bullshit. And so like for me, when I take, I like the capsules, the potion's a little bit strong for me. So I just take like 2-3 capsules and like I'm off to the races.
I will say this because like I did Adderall once because somebody here had some. So they're like, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, I guess let's do it. And I was always scared of doing Adderall because I'm like, I don't want to like this shit too much. I felt a little bit of it. It wasn't as strong, honestly, as like the Mind Bullet potion. The Mind Bullet potions were pretty fucking strong. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you feel good. I've always told people we feel conversational. But whenever it comes to anything like this, I always tell people to assess your habits down the line when you get into the habit of using it or anything. Mm-hmm. Because, you can get some people can get into a point where it's like now it's like something that they need. Like the pre-workout, you can't work out without pre-workout. Mm-hmm. You can't have a conversation or go to a setting without, you know.
Or you have anxiety if you don't have it.
Or you have anxiety. If things
you're like
get there,
worried, yeah.
You have to assess. And that's the thing. I fucking love Mind Bullet potions. I love it. But I'm one of those anal people who like always assesses, how am I feeling? I test myself to see, okay, I'm going to do some podcasts without it. Am I still cool?
Right.
Oh, I'm still cool. Do if I go a few days without it, do I feel like I'm craving Kratom? Oh, I'm not? Okay, cool.
Right.
You know, you just don't want yourself to get there with honestly any substance. That being said, it's really fucking good. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing. It's like, it's really fucking good.
Yeah. It's incredible. I didn't use any today, and there's a lot of days where I just don't. Like, same. It just kind of depends. It depends on the day. It depends on the vibe of the day. I still do this, but it's not great to utilize anything to pick you up. You know, like you want to be up anyway. Like you want to be prepared. Like you want to, like there are some days, there are some times where maybe you didn't get the best sleep or something happened and you had to be up earlier. So there are situations where first thing in the morning you're downing caffeine and it's because literally you're tired. Mm-hmm. But personally for myself, I found that if I have a good night of sleep and I have a cup of coffee, that turns me into a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
And if I have like, if on that same day I had a good night's rest, I have my morning coffee, maybe I got a workout in and maybe later in the day I take some Kratom and I go for a run, same thing. Like I feel incredible that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I'm dragging and I'm tired and I'm trying to rely on this or caffeine, it doesn't matter what I try to rely on at that point. Like it just makes me feel kind of worse almost rather than making me feel better.
Yeah. I've heard you even say like the times where you should have the caffeine is when you do get the good rest and you're actually feeling pretty good already. That's when you should really like rev your engine up. But when you're already dragging, like, use that time to be like, this is a sign that I need to go to sleep. So I'm actually going to cut the caffeine. I know it's going to suck, especially if you're in like a mundane job where you have to do a bunch of paperwork and shit. It's going to suck. But, you know, maybe you can use that as like punishment for not getting to bed early or some shit.
Or just like wait a little bit, you know, wait until you feel a little bit better. Like if you, an example would be like instead of right when you wake up having caffeine, and Andrew Huberman, other people have talked about this. This is stuff like I just have been doing for a while just because I recognize that I didn't really need a cup of coffee right when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing it right away, I go outside. I usually go in my backyard. Yep. I walk around a little bit. I might cold plunge 20 minutes later or so. I'm not really big on like routine just because like even that can kind of make you antsy about like what you're doing and not doing.
Once you get off your routine, oh no, the day is fucked.
Yeah, I didn't do cold plunge today.
And then you're self-sabotaging because you're just like, I didn't get my Kratom. I didn't get my Mind Bullet. Right. I didn't get my cold plunge and now I'm going to have a bad day. And then you like, you will yourself to have a bad day. It
but
sucks.
Stack the big habits. Stack those up.
Yeah.
Stack those motherfuckers up. And when those are stacked up and you feel good and then you have some caffeine, that's when it gives you that zip. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to do it when you're tired, now you're like wired and tired and that doesn't feel very good.
That's the thing. That's what we always talk about. Like have your sleep, have like your activity, have all these habits that honestly are free. Have these things set. Because when you add things on top of it, it becomes better. When you add exercise on top of a good sleep routine, good habits as far as like what you're doing during your day, it's amplified. But if you're getting 4 hours of sleep and then you're trying to stick to your diet, right? Even your diet is sabotaged by your bad habits. But if your habits are in line and these things don't cost you no money, right? Adding some Kratom into the mix and even your nutrition, all these things are going to be amplified. Because I agree with you, honestly. When, on nights that I've had bad sleep, if I come in and we're podcasting and I take some Kratom or even if I drink coffee, the wired and tired feeling fucking sucks because you're lagging, man. You're really
trying to
lagging.
You're trying to pull from something and there's nothing there. Uh-uh. You're like, I got nothing. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Tank's fucking empty. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'll say about Mind Bullet is that
I remembered. Go ahead. No, keep going ahead.
I was going to say another thing about Mind Bullet that I really like is the consistency of it. Like it has a similar result on me. It lands on me very similarly every time. Mm-hmm. It may not hit me as hard due to like food or other, you know, hydration or whatever. But it has a lot of consistencies to it. Whereas like, running on mushrooms is a hell of a time. It's a lot of fun, but it's not nearly as consistent. There's like kind of something else going on there. And then even trying to use like pre-workouts and stuff like that. I've had runs where I'm like, I didn't even really feel the caffeine or I didn't really feel any of the energy from it. And with Mind Bullet, I feel like I get a consistent vibe from it every single time, no matter what I take it for.
Dog, I agree. I think a good healthy concept for anybody is to start to respect substances. Because like I took some I lemon teched some mushrooms this morning off of what Chris Bell mentioned, because I was like, let me try this shit.
I'm a big guy.
Yeah. On a side note, the shrooms that I got from this one dude, like this strain or whatever, fucking strong. Like I did after I looked it up, I was like, oh, so this amount of this strain is like comparative to 2.5 grams of this strain. I was like,
I know what you're talking about.
I realized that afterwards and I was just in the gym doing my go-to assessment, like, okay. Anyway, but outside of that though, like when it comes to substances, whether it be Kratom, whether it be shrooms, whether it be weed, whether it be caffeine, like respect the substances and respect that the effect that it has on you. Try not to, like, if it's part of your ritual to use something before you work out, it is good to experiment with how you feel without as much of the substance. You know what I mean? So that you know that, okay, I'm not dependent. Because it's the same thing with weed. When people bring marijuana into what they do, it becomes their only way for them to fall asleep. It becomes the only way for them to wind down at night. The only way for them to go into social settings if they go smoke. And then it's like, I'm not myself without it. Right? So can you get the benefit or the benefit aspect of these substances? Can they work well with you, but can you still be great without them? That's how I think about it. And that's how I've integrated it all into my life. Cause I'll smoke weed. I'll do mushrooms. I'll use Kratom. And I just make sure to pay attention to my overall use, make sure that I haven't built a habit and make sure that I'm still a good version of myself when I'm not using it. Right? I don't even fuck with alcohol anymore though, because I just don't find it beneficial. I'll drink it every now and then, but it's not like, it's not something, it's not something that's part of any of my ritual anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just respect the substance. Yo.
Yeah. I'm trying to get better at caffeine, but one thing I forgot to mention, Mark, first off, thank you again for opening up the beach house to us. We went down to Bodega and we weren't planning on staying there, but Mark, you know, sent me a voice memo. Was just like, hey, you guys should stay there. I'm like, here we go. Let's do it. Your Jura coffee machine, I was so excited to play with again.
Is that like the $10,000 coffee machine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is a...
I think that one in particular is probably more like $5,000.
Yeah. I looked it up. It was $5,000.
Okay.
But I want to know what kind of sick operation you got going there, because I'm so excited. Like, oh, I finally got access to the coffee machine.
Get an Amex and you can build up points and get one for free.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
There was no coffee beans in the whole house.
Oh, no.
I was so sad.
That happens sometimes.
So I went to that little store like up the road and got something.
That place is fucking incredible.
They have... The guy was just like, yeah, there's two stores in the whole town, so we have to have everything. And I was like, ah, oh, but then you have that one person that has that one random thing. And he's like, we have it. I'm like, ah, oh, sick.
Diekmann's, it's called. And you can go in there and you can get a plunger. You can get a wrench. You can get, like, bait to go fishing with.
You can get a pizza.
You can get a pizza, a sandwich. Like, you name it. You can get anything in there.
And there's a really nice view outside. It's a very cool spot.
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Bodega House or the store? Yeah,
Store in Bodega. Well,
the store next to the Bodega House. It has a really nice view. At least it did that morning.
Mm-hmm.
I now remembered what I was going to mention.
Oh.
Earlier it was about the sauna. And, okay, how we were doing all these things outside,
You were talking to a lady in a sauna.
Oh.
That's what you were saying.
Well, actually, I was. And that's a topic for another
podcast.
Did you
tell her that you pooped in it?
No, I didn't poop in it this time. Yeah, I haven't
But was it that same sauna?
No, actually, the sauna that I pooped in.
You shit your pants.
The sauna, so many new listeners, they think we're joking.
No, okay. Well, let's retell the story. Years ago, at a sauna at a California Family Fitness, I went into the sauna, and when I was 20 minutes in, I thought that all I needed to do was fart. And it wasn't all I needed to do.
I thought this was like at a jujitsu place or something. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. The sauna? It was that I shat myself in?
No, it was at a family-friendly location.
California Family Fitness. It was a dual-gender sauna, so men and women were all in there. It was nice and packed, and I was at the top level where all the heat was. But I just, went to let out a little tiny poot, because there's nothing wrong with farting. But lo and behold, surprise, it was shit. So a little bit came out, and I was like, I just caught myself. I was like, well, I do have 20 more minutes in this sauna. I'm not going to get back out of this to wipe my ass. So I just sat there. Very inconsiderate of me. It was a very asshole move. But slowly but surely, I just noticed people start to squirm. And they started looking around. There's this guy at the left corner. I remember him. He looked up, and I had my head down. I looked at him.
Can't be that giant bodybuilder.
I looked at him, and I was just like, you smell that? Like I kind of was like,
you start pointing at someone else,
and then he was just like, and he was just like, yeah.
He almost barfed.
Like, yeah, and just so that no one would assume it was me, but yeah, that's just disgusting. In a sauna with all the heat rising and the way the smell dissipates, it gets rancid.
You thought it was going to be okay to do that amongst other people.
I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. I honestly thought that it would just like be like a fart where it would happen and then it would dissipate. But since...
So I agree with you that the temperature can help, but... Even on this podcast, when the air conditioning's going, it doesn't help. I think he was totally dropping ass when we had the Gota guys on the other day. I'm like, it's getting a little foggy in here. Like, it's almost like when we had the fires out here like 2 years ago, when you could see all the smoke in the gym.
Yeah, I was fucking putting ass on.
I was like, I know he doesn't really love Gota sometimes, but man, it's like
just shit on this podcast.
Yeah, I was like, damn, bro,
so much.
Hey, man, I don't fart that much.
Yeah, you do.
No, I a little bit, but it's not as bad as you.
I remember texting you guys. I'm like, for some reason, like when I fast, I fart all the time, and Seema's like, I don't know, man, I just fart all the time anyway. No matter what's going on.
Oh man, just don't fucking fart in a sauna. It's not good. But when I was in the sauna the other day, one thing that I've been doing, one thing I do often now, actually, when I'm in the sauna, is I do a lot of self myofascial release. With this injury, the impact injury that happened recently with my AC joint and clavicle, Oscar, our boy from Oscar, he's Oscar_ActiveBodywork or whatever. Look him up. He's a great PT. But he's like, do some myofascial release in there. So I really spend time, and I was doing this before, but I spend time like massaging different parts of my body when I'm in the sauna. And since your body heats up, you're really able to get into a lot of areas really, really well. I took in the, I don't know, I think it's called an Accucane or what's it called?
Oh yeah, like Theracane type thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I take a Theracane in there. I know I look kind of weird, but I'll take a Theracane in there and I'll work on my traps while
I'm
in the sauna.
Those things are amazing.
Mm-hmm. They are. But when you're in there and your body's warm, you're able to really get into some spots and do your own release. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also like do the hand foot glove in there. So I'll literally glove each foot for like 10 minutes and like really squeeze my toes around my fingers. And if you have some spare time, like when you're chilling, when you're in front of TV, if you can spend some time doing these things, the results that you're going to have in terms of like your foot development, your toe splay, you're trying to develop the stronger feet that we talk about, will happen faster, if you turn it into a habit, because now it's a habit.
Working on your hand extensors as you're watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where shit gets a little bit crazy for most people. But I think that most people can sit down when they're relaxing in a hand foot glove. Yeah. That's a very simple thing. Or if you have one of those canes sitting on the couch or you're sitting down watching something, fucking scrape the fuck out of your trap.
I do a ton of myofascial release at my house. Mm-hmm. I have a baseball and a softball, and I'll put it on the wall, and I'll get the front of my shoulders. Sometimes I'll get the trap with a lacrosse ball, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that shit like, I don't know, just regularly. It feels good. Like, as we pointed out in the beginning of the podcast, it ends up becoming something that ends up being contagious. It ends up being something that you want to do because it literally is helping make you feel better all the time.
Yeah, and if you don't want to bother with all of that, just sit on the floor. That's another thing you can do while, like, you can level up while watching TV.
Absolutely. See if you can go to Juliette Sturette's Instagram. She did a video the other day where she just talked about them sitting on the floor watching TV. This is a simple practice. I think most people have some room in their home where they can sit in front of their couch.
Let me know if you see
and it. They can get to the floor. Yeah, that might be it. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, see if you can play the – I think there's some audio to it. I thought there was audio to it. Maybe not. Or maybe she did a voiceover, maybe.
Probably. We're actually practicing.
It's kind of loud.
The way we practice it in our house is when we watch TV, we sit on the floor.
Oh, and she's using the Stranger Things theme.
In this case, watching the Stranger Things season finale, we also do some mobilizing. Human beings should be able to get up and down off the floor and sit comfortably on the floor. But this is a skill that many of us have lost because we spend all our time sitting in chairs or on couches and we don't ever actually practice it. So the way we practice it in our house is when we watch TV, we sit on the floor. In this case, watching the Stranger Things season finale, we also do some mobilizing.
Dope.
It's funny because our dogs will, like when we're sometimes sitting on the floor, the dogs will go and they'll take the couch. Right? Yeah. It's just kind of funny, but yeah.
The dogs are like, these guys aren't smart enough for the couch.
That is interesting though, because we do talk about like, you know, primal instinct and like we follow animals, but I guess because they are like, what's it called?
Pack
animals?
No. What's the term when like they're like in the house all the time now? They're
domesticated.
Our dogs will always search out the softest anything to go sleep on. Like, they're never like, Liver King, I'm going to go sleep on the hardest. Like, no, they're just like, fuck you. Like, where's not just the bed, but bed and the pillow and like the blankets. You know what I mean? Like, the most they can get.
Give those tribes people some fucking shoes and they're going to be wearing them. You know what I mean? Give them some air conditioning. They're going to fucking love it. Mm-hmm. Give them some comfort. Give them a fucking refrigerator full of food and a couch.
I see what you mean.
They're going to be sprawling on that fucking thing. It's, you know how long it's going to take to decode them from some of what they're used to?
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah.
A fucking week. And they're going to look in the fridge and go, there ain't shit in there. You know what I mean? Like, come to my house.
Oh, my God.
Come to my fucking house and hang with me for a little bit. I'll fatten you right up.
Yo, you'll have inside all your good habits
and everything.
Yo, that's a good fucking point though, because it's like at this point we're doing all these things to work off being super comfortable. We're doing all these things to work off having a lot of luxuries, mm-hmm. that, you know,
a nice cushion.
Cause there's all this reference to, you know, primal people and tribe people. And there's a lot of shit that they're doing right, but there is a bit of a fight against like, okay, we want to go to that, but if they had this, they'd be like, fuck are you doing on the ground? You have this comfortable couch, mm-hmm. lie down and relax.
Dude, take some of those motherfuckers to Old Country Buffet and they would be like, what in the hell? They would think it's the greatest time ever. The fucking, like you can have as much dessert as you want and shit, mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah,
they're like, wait, they bring that to me as I sit down?
Huh. In this comfortable seat?
All you can eat pasta.
Why would you guys ever leave?
Right.
But the thing is, they're right. Most people don't leave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Take us on out of here, Andrew.
Ooh, Golden Corral, though.
Oh, shit.
That's what I mean.
Dude. Golden Corral was so good. I haven't had that in so many years, but that shit's dangerous.
That chocolate fountain thing just always going.
Ooh, like, bro.
Golden Corral.
Yeah. All right, everybody, thank you for checking out today's episode. Please slap the shit out of that like button. We would sincerely appreciate that. Drop us a comment down below on anything you guys heard today. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. And also, please follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
Mark, did you say this was Brad's chocolate?
We did, but Pump we didn't just explain too much about
well,
it.
Well, I don't know if he sells it, but I think it's just Brad loves chocolate. He loves dark chocolate, and that's one of his favorite ones.
That's really good.
I know chocolate. That is his macadamia nut thingy, though.
Oh, okay, so that's just a recommendation.
The interesting thing about this chocolate, I will say, I'm not a chocolate connoisseur, but what I do know is like Hershey's tastes
like bullshit. Like,
it doesn't taste like bullshit. Yeah, Hershey's milk chocolate, it's like
it's dope.
There's a tasty chocolate aspect to it. This is like it's like chocolate. You know, it's like classy chocolate. You know, it's like Hershey's
making
is soda.
My eyes water. It's so good.
Hershey's is like fucking soda. And this is a good red wine. Anyway, it's a good chocolate Pump Street if you guys want to fucking try it. But check out the Discord. Community is going to be popping in there. Community is popping in there. Hope this guys helps you out. And Seema Inning on Instagram and YouTube. And Seema Inning on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
Have you had the Dove dark chocolate?
I have not, man. I'm not. I should try it.
Smooth.
What percentage, though? Because, I mean, you've noticed some of these chocolates have percentages.
Yeah, you want to go above 80, I think.
Above 80?
And just the reason is that the higher the percentage, in my opinion, the less likely you are to really like – you can overeat anything. You can overeat anything. I got to say that very clearly. But the more like – I don't know, the more like tart it is or whatever the word is you want to describe, chocolate, the less likely. I mean, if you buy like really high level dark chocolate, one thing, it's expensive. So you're not going to want to just down it out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But you can – you can overdo anything, but you can sensibly eat a couple squares of it and be like, I'm chill. I'm good.
That's true. With that, like,
it's not a peanut butter cup.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll eat it. I taste it. It's good, but it's not like I can eat three whole things.
Yeah.
With Hershey's though.
I could eat that whole fucking thing right there.
You just pop that shit in your mouth.
Cadbury dark chocolate.
Never had it. You're too classy for me.
No, that one's not too classy. You can get that like anywhere, but like that one,
go to the co-op. It's like,
I don't even know where it's at.
It's a fucking party. There's a co-op in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's downtown Sac. There's one. I don't know where
that is either.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sacramento co-op or Davis co-op. You go in there and there's so much fucking chocolate. It's amazing.
You guys going to the state fair?
No. When is that?
Now.
It's happening.
Oh. I think tomorrow it starts.
This is when everyone passes out because it's so hot.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's the time of the year.
Yeah.
Funnel cake tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I always get a funnel cake when I go to the state fair.
Funnel cake.
I mean, I was thinking about food.
That shit is dense. Anyway.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye, bitch.